So please don't think I'm going to give a talk. It's very cozy, like it's family discussions. And I like to be a normal human being, present it much as possible, because don't like somebody has the full knowledge of everything. It's a wrong kind of projection. I like you to have me a projection, something less than your knowledge. So anything you pick up from me, you may able to pick up more useful. Otherwise, if you put me very high and your expectation, I may not able to fulfill. Therefore, even I said something useful, maybe you will not notice that particular words. The three people raised would like to hear my life and the healing and how to dealing with difficult times of life. So I will try to talk within this as how I deal with it, because I had all those three things. I born in Tibetan 1940, and to grow up in a monastery to order to be a charge of a monastery which is called, nowadays they called Tulku or Reincarnated Lama. I meant to be one of them and chose when I was 3 years old, recognized or chose, and to have to go to monastery order to throne when I was 3 years old, and went back home for 3 more years, and when I have to go back to education in the monastery when I was 6. So from 6 year old onward, then I become like orphanage person, because I grew up in a monastery. You don't see your parents, brought up by monks, and in order to learn how to take care of the spiritual side of the monastery, how to take care of the welfare side of monastery, how to receive or give teachings for the your community. So you have much to learn from morning to night and 7 days a week. So been very busy to study. And also our responsibility is not the spiritual side of the territory which each monastery has its own territory. It has its own people, and my responsibility is not only my monastery, but my responsibility is the welfare of our community. My responsibility is to whoever receive instructions and other spiritual and family problems and territory problems and any problem, either big or small, or health or sick or dead. And like Tulku has a responsibility. Tulku is the like final decision. You make decisions about the monasteries. You make decisions a family, even to go in shopping. the Tibetan shopping's done only once a year for 3 months. Maybe they go because it's not money change. It's changed good from nomadic people to agricultural people, and it's only changed once a year. So your decision is to when they should go, which area they should go. So you have much responsibility where to go, what to do. It's one year family, I suppose. Every family think that you know all the answers. So they will come to you, and if they're sick, they ask you to, can you do things to not be sick? If somebody is dying, and making sure that they born a better life. So there's a constant fulfill the wishes of families and the various monasteries, various to try to educate yourself. So it's quite a hard life. The tuku is not very easy. Kind of education which goes here, tuku do not have the same, similar education. We start from 6 o'clock in the morning to finish 9 o'clock in the evening, roughly. That's our way of educating, not for 5 days, not for 6 days, but 7 days a week. So 6 years old to 14 years old, most of my life I done to study. And from 40 years, then my duty is making decisions people's life. So you can see that 14 years old child here to try to make a decision to family's life, and not only one person's life, but your responsibility, thousands of people's lives. And my job is making sure that I don't make a mistake to learn things properly. I'm sure that I made mistakes, I can't say, but nothing which intentionally to make any mistake, best is I can. And then you have to go to universities. When I was 15 years old, to go to universities. In the 18 or 19, that my life is traveling around to different parts of Tibet and to receive teachings from well-known teachers. And then, when I was 18 or 19, then all Tibetans have to make a decision whether you stay or whether you go, because the Chinese came to Tibet in order to modernize, or order to improve Tibetan way of life. By 1959, that they say, now we want to take over your country. So they took the Tibetan, and according to Chinese, peaceful liberation. But peaceful or unpeaceful, that's not my decision. But there's no much choice, have to leave, because what we believe, what is happening, is not the same thing. So we decide to leave 1959, and the population of Tibetan is 6 million. The people who left Tibetan is 1 million. Tibetans to India, and the people who died under a concentration camp or prison or during the Cultural Revolution is close to 2 million people dead, and that's the situation we have to leave. So we left from Tibetan to India. It took 10 months journey. And out of 1 million, the first term left 1959, between 1959 to 1960, the people who reached in India is about 80,000 people. And that means 20,000 people dead on the way. And like example, I can only tell my group, which is, we came close, in the beginning, we came 300 people, and we went traveling with a horse and a mule for 4 months, and then cannot get anywhere because the Chinese took over Lhasa, capital of Tibet, and I come from east part of Tibet, so all the borders which going to Tibet and is all close, so we have to cross from Burma, Indian border, come to India, and then after 6 months, there is no way that you can get horses or mules, so you just have to bend all your wealth and horses, mules, and in the field. Of course, then you are matter of life or death. So you try to escape in by walk, and that took 6 months. And during that time, in our group, which is 300 people, that those who reached in India after 6 months is only 13. So that's our group, the number how many able to get through. Now, our group, that those 13 people survive, we all had very good teachers, Tibetan Buddhist teachers, which every of us remember to loving kindness and compassion, tolerant and forgiving, not to revenge, and to take everything in a positive your life. So the person who asked me about the healing, and I found those teachings give me the our mind survival, because if we did not receive those teachings, I don't think any of us were alive. But not only that, when we have nothing to eat, so many people dying. After anything, we have to eat everything what we think in our body what we have. And once it's run out, then there is a decision to make. Shall we kill anything which is eatable? Shall we eat somebody who died first? So those are the questions, and those are the decisions we have to make. And I don't think anybody minds eating each other if the person is dead. We realize like a rabbit, and the people say we should kill because we know we're going to die. Then there is question raised for us. whose life should be life, you or rabbit? Because why you have the right to kill the rabbit and orders by you? So my decision was, I do eat meat. Don't think I'm a very compassionate person. I do eat rabbit meat nowadays. But when you matter of survival, I made the decision, we will not kill the rabbits. If we are meant to be die, we have to die, because I do not see the difference, you and somebody else. But if we see somebody dead, of course we will eat. There is a people dead to eat other people's body, but not in our group, because people who are dead, others they're dead in snow, frozen, they dead, whatever, they can't walk anymore, so they giving what the food they have to us and say, please you leave now, because a matter of a few hours I'm going to die anyway, so you go. So they make their own decision. So I feel that my teachers giving us strength to able to make the right decision. So that is big healing for me. Not say I have to survive, others have to die, and that's not my decision. Now I'm very much appreciate my whole experience of escape, suffering, how much went through. This is best training my life, because when I was in Tibetan, I don't really know what poor means. I don't really know family suffering means, because you did not had any suffering. You never starving yourself, and therefore you expect everybody the same as like you. But when you experience all this, then when close my death and the promise or my decision, if I'm still alive somehow and miraculously not dead today or not dead tomorrow, I will not teach Buddhist and to sit on throne and have so many servants, but I become the servant of all suffering people to feed, educate, and this is my commitment. I made my promise at that time. And luckily that our group somehow managed to live again, then to get into India in a refugee camp, eating for the first time strange food, something which does not exist in Tibet, and nobody knows how to cook onions, potatoes, tomatoes. In our country never exist any of those. Nobody know how to cook, nobody know how to eat. So all the vegetables are rotten everywhere. And then every day between 30 to 40 people die due to tapeworms, roundworms. And then to stay in India for 3 years, and the exile government giving us jobs to according to education, the qualification what each person has. Most of them they send to road work, and the older tukus send to further training education, which we have to learn English language. So establish, have to go to English school. But I did not have the chance to go to school. They put me to management of the school. So I've been there for 3 years. From there to went to England because a friend of ours come from England and thought it would be a good place to go. So went to England and somebody sponsored for first year, and then sponsor money run out, so have to look a job. So I had only two choices, either you work factory or hospital. So I decided to work in a hospital. Then I got a porter job. And then that's the first time my life had a physical job to push patients around in a hospital. And I don't speak much English at that time. I never done any job. And the nurses in a hospital, they think I'm quite a lazy person because I don't know how to push the patients at all. That really gave me the most suffering, my mental suffering in my life. Because I had so much kind of pain and suffering to lose everything in a refuge, but you take as, of course, everybody is a refuge. You don't expect it that you will be a very happy person. But when you are working in a hospital, then you start remembering what you do, your job in Tibet. And you sit in throne, you give orders to people. and that's what you have to do in a hospital. You take people's orders. And then and within the porter department, they teach you all the nasty things. You have to be back a particular time limit. And if you don't know how to push the first thing, second thing, you will never have any knowledge of a time limit. So, and if you walk too hard, they will say, stop, go slowly, because we all have to be same time. I took five minutes, you must take 5 minutes. You are not allowed to go 3 minutes back to the places. And there's so many rules and conditions. And that really, and for the first time, I washed a toilet, which in Tibetan lamas, tukus, doing toilet is something which you never exist, or not even, not in physically, but not even imagining. So that kind of break me down, my mind, tortured me for 3 years. And then, and during that time, then I able to turn myself in the teachings which I received my teachers, and accepting, intolerance, patience, accept whatever comes, and you look at everything is beautiful, good. You should never look ugly, bad. So I survived by my teachers and the advisors given. So that is my I healed myself by my teacher. I see many good people. I see many in England. You will see many difficult people. We had very good because we stay in lodger, bed and breakfast, and at that time the porter's income is very little. And after you finish paying for the rent and some kind of something to eat, there's nothing left, because even the food have to be very limited. For two years in Oxford, I only me and my friends, we can only afford it to eat a piece of bread and breast of lamb, because breast lamb they throw away for the dogs. So you can buy 5 pence one breast lamb, and you boil that one, put between the bread in the morning, one daytime, one in the evening. That's how I survived for 3 years. And on the other side, the person who renting for room for us, the owner of the room is a very old lady, about 90 years, and the person he pretend he is the caretaker, he trade us with a knife, a quite long knife, and increase the rent every week. And if you don't pay, this is what we're going to do. So sometimes had a very hard life, because you don't know what to pay. If you pay everything, you have nothing to eat. But this is also a very, very valuable lesson for us. My teacher told me, you cannot change the whole world. Like, if you don't like the world full of thorns, you try to cover that whole world with the carpets, order you walk, that's not possible. If you can't walk, to find decent shoes. So you giving up idea of to cover the whole world with carpet, but you cover your feet, so you can walk wherever you want to walk. So that's what I think the political problem in your country is, you need a good shoes. The foundation healing I found is the loving kindness and the compassion. And the meditation is the best medicine. And also, even now scientists found, if you meditate every day, a regular basis, your happy brain is growing. That's the found last few years science. And science, we all listen science, we don't listen anybody else. So if science said that's the answer, then we are happy. So what science said is, practice meditation regular, you will develop happiness, more happier, less people are losing jobs, like sickness, headaches, nervousness, problems due to your uncomfortable your life, and to you're losing so many days in your company. Once you start a meditation, people are more able to go into the jobs, so less sickness. So maybe that's the perhaps a solution for you in the healing side. So I hope I cover the three things: the my life story, how to dealing with this, how to idea of healing. So healing idea is you must have loving kindness, compassion, limitless, it's called limitless compassion. So maybe that should be the basis. Because there are so much mental suffering, they have too much comfort. And when I had too much comfort, I always feeling there must be something better than this, looking at something better. When I went through the suffering which I had, is best education I ever had in my life. Now I'm happy, much happier than when I was thrown. If somebody give me food, I'm quite happy. If people don't give me food, I'm still quite happy. If somebody beat me up, I'm still happy. I'm pretty stable. Except Scottish don't give me whiskey, then I'm very unhappy. And thank you very much all of your coming. And I think that's all.